You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
This is What the Heck with Mike Heck on MMAfighting.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Heck.
What the heck?
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Heck here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck. Thank you so much for checking out the show this week. I have returned from sunshiny Tampa, Florida, my first experience covering a BKFC event, BKFC 19, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit to officially open up the program. The UFC was back this past Saturday with a pretty loaded card. UFC Vegas 32, headlined by a tremendous fight between the former UFC Bantamweight champion, the returning TJ Dillashaw. He took on Corey Sandhagen. Dillashaw gets the nod via split decision in a fight that a lot of people feel will be in the conversation for the fight of the year come December when all the awards conversations begin. And just a tremendous fight. I got a chance to finally watch it on Monday morning, and I scored it for Sandhagen. I thought he won the fight, but no robbery at all. The real winners were the fans and everybody that got to watch the fight. So it's definitely not anything egregious in terms of the scoring and who won the fight. It was tremendous, and both stocks rose, and that's all you can ask for. There were definitely some quote-unquote robberies on this card, and we'll discuss that for sure on the show. But man, pretty loaded weekend in the combat sports world. We got another loaded weekend ahead of us this weekend. We got Bellator 263 coming up on Saturday, headlined by the big one, Patricio Pitbull versus AJ McKee for the featherweight title. It's the Grand Prix finale. This is a fight that's been built up and built up and built up tremendously, perfectly by the promotion. So very excited for that. What a fight that is on paper. I know it's being billed as the biggest fight in Bellator history. I don't know if I would go that far. I have to really think about it, but it's definitely up there. It's definitely up there. And I can't remember the last time I was this excited for a Bellator fight. I mean, Bellator's got some good cards and some good fights, and I've been excited for a good chunk of them. But like this, I don't know, man. This is one of those cards that just gets you all fired up, and really looking forward just to seeing how this thing plays out. What we're going to be talking about come Sunday or Saturday night, Sunday morning, Monday, all throughout the week. And we will be there throughout the week in Inglewood, California. So make sure you follow along with us right here on MMAfighting.com. Of course, the UFC is also back on the same night. Bellator and the UFC going head to head. That card headlined by Uriah Hall versus Sean Strickland. So a lot to be excited about if you are a fan of mixed martial arts and combat sports. As far as the guest list this week, a bit of an abbreviated show. I'm now back home, getting back to the swing of things here in the Northeast, but we'll wrap things up with Mickey Gall, who looked tremendous on Saturday. Stopped Jordan Williams, best performance of his career in my eyes, his first fight in around 13 months or so. He dealt with a lot in between the loss to Mike Perry and this fight, and even just in the buildup to this fight with Jordan Williams. We'll discuss the big win and what he wants a little bit later on. We'll also recap UFC Vegas 32, the big storylines, mostly with Mr. Dean Thomas, of course, one of the best minds in the sport. So stay tuned for that. But just more on the Fight Week experience covering a BKFC event. It was a blast. I was on an airplane for the first time in around 2 years, flew out of Boston to Tampa. I got there, got to the hotel, room wasn't ready yet. I'm all sweaty and gross, and all I wanted to do was take a shower at that point. So, but I couldn't really do that. Had a change in the lobby bathroom, hop in an Uber, and head on over to the press conference in Clearwater, which was a lot of fun. It was at Burt's Barracuda Harley Davidson, which is a really cool spot for it. And it got a little testy with Britton Hart and Jenny Savage at the press conference. And it, just the whole thing, the look, the experience was great. Got a chance to talk to Paige, got a chance to talk to Rachel Ostovich, Britton Hart, got some open workout stuff. I even got to meet Paul Sr. from Orange County Choppers. You guys remember that show? I saw him, I said hello, and then he actually like came up to me and shook my hand and said that he watches a lot of the stuff we do over at MMA Fighting, and I thought that was pretty cool. So it's cool to meet Paul Sr., just cool being out there for that experience of the press conference. I just really dug it. I thought it was really well done. And then Thursday, we were at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa where the fights are actually going to take place. That's where the weigh-ins were. And some fun face-offs, some pushing, some shoving. Things got a little testy at times, and it was fun. Got some cool stuff, some good interviews after that. But then the card itself on Friday was just nuts, man. Twists and turns. We had run-ins. We had people jumping the guardrail. We had people in the seats trying to jump the guardrail. We had violent finishes. We had impressive performances. We had rap performances, walking social media influencers to the cage, like the fighters all brought, even the social media influencers. They went out there and they fought their asses off. Yeah, it was with gloves, and yeah, it wasn't bare knuckle. It was what it was. But, you know, kudos to those kids for getting out there and doing what a lot of people in the crowd wouldn't have done. So good on them. I got to say, like, I got to talk to a few of them, just like, you know, not on camera, not in a like a full-on fight week setting. And they were all very, very nice. They were all very, very nice people. And, you know, good on them. And some of them want to fight bare knuckle the next time around. We'll see if that actually happens. But that's what they told me they want to do on Friday night after the event. But in terms of the card itself, a lot of stars, in my opinion, on the night. Of course, Rachel Ostovich beating Paige VanZant was a big deal. Not a lot of people thought that was going to happen. I came out of that fight with Paige feeling that bare knuckle is kind of perfect for Rachel Ostovich, is it not? I mean, that Hawaiian warrior spirit was on full display. She looked incredibly comfortable in there. I mean, she cracked Paige right away, like in the opening seconds of that fight, and it set the tone for the rest of it. Like, she looked great. She looked really, really good. And I know a lot of people think, like, Paige looked bad, and I didn't think she looked bad at all. I thought Rachel just looked great, and that was just the big difference maker. So Rachel gets the win. Paige is now 0-2 in BKFC. It'll be interesting to see what they do from here with her from here. But I mean, there's no wrong answer. There's plenty of options for her. Maybe you throw her in there with Cassie Robb. I know Casey Lydon talked about that. That makes a lot of sense to me. And whatever Rachel Ostovich wants to do, she can do. Ball's in her court. But the aforementioned Britton Hart, she looked great. She finished Jenny Savage. It was, I got to say, I was impressed with both of those ladies throughout the week. Their demeanor, just conversations on camera, off camera, their interviews, just all of it. The stories they have. I was just really impressed with both ladies. But Britton looked sensational in the fight. But in my eyes, the biggest star of the night, maybe even the entire weekend in combat sports, was Taylor Starley. I mean, what a performance. I mean, everything. She comes out walking out to Mike Jones and got the place jumping. People were going crazy to the song. It was just a perfectly selected song. She danced. Cassie Robb's rapping in the center of the ring. And she just goes out there and savagely beats up Cassie Robb. And if you've watched Cassie Robb fight in MMA, I know it's a different sport altogether. Cassie's a very durable fighter, and Taylor just didn't give her a second to breathe. She just went right after her. As soon as she cracked her once, she cracked her about 435 more times, and referee had seen enough. So big win for Taylor Starling. She's had a big year. She had that crazy fight with Charissa Charissa Sagala. Taylor's had a very big year. I mean, she's very humble in nature. She's got a very bright future in the sport, and she stole the show in my eyes, and I'm excited to see where BKFC goes from here with Taylor Starling. I think she's somebody that they should be pushing right now. I think they should be pushing Bret Hart too, but I think Taylor's got something, and I think BKFC knows that now. But really great trip, still exhausted from it, and I can't wait to cover another one of these BKFC events because it was a blast. Thank you to everyone who followed along this week, and we really enjoyed it. So we're going to kick off the interview portion of the show with the one and only Dean Thomas to recap UFC Vegas 32.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
All right, let us say hello to Dean Thomas, doing multiple things here. He's driving and doing an interview at the same time. Just a true man, a true mensch, if you will. One of the best minds in the sport of mixed martial arts. He was watching UFC Vegas 32 this past Saturday night, so I wanted to get his thoughts on the festivities. Dean, thank you for doing this, man. How are you?
Man, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm just multitasking, man. I try to get as much done in a day as I possibly can. But don't worry, I'm not going to be on the road all that dangerous like this. I'm parking right now. So what's up, man?
Not too much, man. You know, it's great to have you here. First off, the event on Saturday had a lot of great fights, some great finishes, some questionable judging, which we'll get into in a moment. But a lot of people feel, Dean, that top to bottom, this was one of the better fight night events the UFC has ever put on. So I wanted to ask you, first off, do you feel that way as well? Were you entertained to the max on Saturday?
Well, I was entertained to the max, sure. But it's hard to really say it was one of the better events. Because, I mean, sometimes those events are just really good. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I wouldn't go in that far. Some, you know, recency bias. I mean, it was just the other day. So, of course, we're going to be like, yeah, it was the best event ever. But it was a good event. But I wouldn't go as far as to say it was the best event ever for a fight night.
Yeah, I mean, just recency bias is a huge thing in this sport, so I get what you're saying. But let's start with the main event, because TJ Dillashaw returns to action for the first time in over 2 years, post-suspension, takes on Corey Sandhagen in a fight that probably exceeded the already ridiculously high expectations that it had heading into it. So in the end, Dillashaw gets the split decision nod. Before we get into the X's and O's of the fight, how did you score? Did the judges get it right? Or did you feel that Sandhagen did enough to win?
I felt like Sandhagen did enough to win, but you know, TJ, you know, he had his moments, you know what I'm saying? Like, he controlled the fight. Like, he kind of won the game of the fight. I don't necessarily like that, because it makes the sport a little like playing a game. But I, you know, the thing is, at the end of the day, like, fighting should be about finishing and doing damage. And, you know, I don't think TJ did enough damage or did enough to get close to finishing to have won that fight. I still think that Corey won that fight, but TJ kind of won the game of the fight. So
what do you mean by that specifically? Like winning the game of the fight?
You know, when you talk about like scoring points and doing enough to like, in the eyes of the judges, say that I'm in control. You know, he had his back for quite a bit, you know, from the standing position. And I guess he's winning from there, you know, like he's in a more offensive position, I guess. But he wasn't really doing anything. So, like, it's not, to me, that's not really winning a fight to hold that position. But when everything else is even, and it wasn't really even, but for the amount of time that he had that position, you got to give him some credit for that because Corey didn't want to be there. So TJ was holding him in a position where he didn't want to be. Even though he's not doing nothing, he's holding him in a position where he didn't want to be. So I guess you kind of say he's winning that portion of the fight.
These are definitely two of the very best fighters and arguably the best division in the sport right now. I mean, the fight was just plain ridiculous. So what, I guess, stood out to you the most? Like, what were your biggest takeaways from those 25 minutes?
My biggest takeaways is that Corey is the better fighter. You know, Corey's the better fighter. I think more than TJ winning the fight, Corey kind of lost that fight for himself. I think he gambled on the fact that he was going to knock TJ out. So he made some mistakes in terms of some of his decisions and what he was doing in the fight, some of the spinning attacks, and just not keeping it simple and defending a takedown in a simple approach. I think if he had fought that fight again and go and said, you know what, I'm going to fight this fight with a slightly more simple approach and just get my shots off, I think he beats TJ. But in the moment, I think he thought he was going to knock him out. And TJ capitalized off of that and said, all right, you're going to try to spin and stuff? I'm going to get you down and take your back and hold you and control the clock for this amount of time. But at the end of the day, I still think Corey is a better fighter than TJ. But with that said, my second takeaway is that TJ is still a damn good fighter. He's still a damn good fighter. And I still think he beats a good portion of the bantamweights. I just don't think he's as good as Corey Sandhagen.
Dillashaw gets the win. He wants the title shot. He wants the winner of Sterling versus Yan 2, which has apparently been agreed upon for October 30th. There's certainly an argument, excuse me, to be had for that because he never technically lost the title in the cage. Of course, he's dealing with a nasty cut near his eye. His knee looked to have been a little banged up in the fight. So if timing works out and all is okay on the injury front, do you think that Dillashaw should get the winner of that fight and fight for the belt next? Or do you personally need to see more from him before you're ready to make that decision and throw him into another title fight?
No, I don't need to see more from him. I think that he's, you know, going out there and regardless of me thinking that Corey Sandhagen's a better fighter, TJ's still a damn good fighter. He's still, in the eyes of the judges, won that fight and has still kept it close. I think that he's deserving of a title shot if, you know, with the winner of Aljamain Sterling and Petr Yan. Yeah, I think that TJ deserves that shot.
Sandhagen, like you said, he's just so damn good, man. And most people felt that he won the fight. And I don't think it was a robbery per se. And his future is still super bright. There's a lot of really fun matchups for him. But I guess like one of the things I was thinking about the last couple of days is where does Rob Font now fit into this equation? Because he's right there in the mix for a title shot. I feel like timing is his worst enemy right now. But how does Rob sort of factor into this thing? Because if TJ gets a title shot, it seems pretty obvious you just do Sandhagen versus Font next, right?
It seems obvious like that, but you know what? Maybe you do. You know, maybe you do. I mean, it kind of makes sense. This is why it's my favorite division. You know, the bantamweights are my favorite division. You know, these guys are so good. They're so neck and neck, and it's going to take a little bit of time for them to clean itself out. I mean, it reminds me of 2 years ago, the welterweight division, where it was just like so many good guys. And that's where the bantamweights are right now. But yeah, I guess Font and Sandhagen make sense. I don't know if Font wants that fight. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a tough out for Font. But Font's a tough dude. So like, you know, he's down to fight anybody. You know, from that Boston cartel, man. Them guys, they don't care about nothing. They'll fight you in the street.
I agree with you 100%. So that was the main event. That had some controversy with the decision. Certainly wasn't egregious compared to other things that happened on this main card. Most notably, the co-main event, which is also a bantamweight fight. And then, of course, the Macy Barber versus Miranda Maverick fight, which we'll get into in a moment. But let's start with Holyoam Paiva versus Kyler Phillips, because Paiva gets the decision win. Pretty much everybody thought this should have been a draw because of what Phillips did in that first round. It should have been a 10-8 first round for sure for Phillips. And you can even make an argument, a slight one, since it's so rare, maybe even a 10-7 round. I mean, this is one-way traffic the whole way. 10-8's how I had it. I mean, Dean, if Paiva was getting 10-9s for winning his round, but Phillips got a 10-9 for that first round, how the hell is that even possible, man? Like, how is this possible?
Yeah, and that's something that we need to discuss. But the reality of it is because the fighters are suffering from this and the commission is not suffering from it, the commission's not losing money by screwing fighters. The UFC is not losing money by screwing fighters. The fighters are the ones who are really suffering from this, from bad judging and bad decisions made by the powers that be. So because of that, until the UFC's pockets are affected by it, or the commission more so is affected by it, we're not going to see a change, because only the fighters are suffering. And they're just like, hey, you know what? Who cares? Because like, you can look at those decisions. You can't take that up with the commission. You try to go to the commission with that, they're going to rip it up and be like, see ya. You know, the decision is the decision. And that's all I'm going to tell you. But if it affected their pocket, like if they got penalized for making bad decisions like that, we'd see a change in the scoring system and in the judging. But you're right. There is absolutely no way you can say this is a 10-9 and this is a 10 and this is a 10-9 as well, based on the effects of those rounds. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, my man got screwed from it. He's got to wear that L on his record because of that.
Yeah, and it should have been a draw. Like, it sucks having a draw, but it's better than a loss. And, right. You know, it's crazy for Kyler Phillips. He's supposed to fight Rafael Assuncao and get a top 10 guy. Now he's taking a short notice fight with Holyoam Paiva and loses a fight that should have been a draw. It's just nuts. It's just crazy how these 10-9s are being compared the same. It's just absolutely asinine. But I want to get your thoughts on the fight that everybody's talking about in terms of the judging. Macy Barber gets the split decision win over Miranda Maverick. She snaps the two fights again. Look, first off, I had zero issue with the matchmaking here. I know a lot of people did, but in terms of the fight itself and the result, no disrespect to Macy, Dean, because she has a bright future in the sport for sure. But outside of Macy herself, I didn't see one person, whether it be media, fighter, coach, fan, etc. Not one person did I see score that fight for Macy Barber. I assume you are not number two on that list. What did you think of the fight, the scoring of the fight? Are you comfortable throwing out the word robbery in this case?
Yeah, I am. And the reason being is because I see how hard fighters work in order to do their job and be good at their job. Fighters work damn hard to be good at their job. And when you have something like this happen and it's not in their control, they can't do anything about it. That's a robbery. That's an absolute robbery. It's like working hard to go to the bank, working hard, getting paid, getting a check. Then you go to the bank to deposit it and somebody steals it. That's what happened to her. She worked for months for this fight. She did what she needed to do in order to win, and somebody took that away from her. That's a robbery. Not only just from a W and L standpoint, but from a financial standpoint, because these fighters in their contracts, they typically get paid double to win. And the fact that these judges got that wrong, that's a robbery. She absolutely got robbed in that fight. She fought a hell of a fight, and it's a shame of what's happening. That she had to take that L. I think we need to start a GoFundMe to give her her money. But nah, but it's a rob. It's an absolute robbery for them to do that to a fighter. You know, to get that wrong.
Do you think in 2021 at this point, with the UFC and the sport being so well established at this point, is the win show payout structure, are we beyond this? Like, is this too old school for us? Like, I feel like we wouldn't be harping on it this much. I mean, the judges, sure, that they have their share of the responsibility in this. They have pretty much all the responsibility in this. But at the same time, if we just improve that payout structure and it's just one flat fee for everybody, you know what you're getting paid, so forth and so on, maybe you can get some bonuses and all of those things, I feel like we wouldn't be as upset about this as maybe we would have been, you know, with the old comparing the structures, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is something I've been screaming for years. You can go back and check my MySpace page. I've been screaming this for years. They need to get rid of the show and win bonus, because the win bonus does not help you perform better. It doesn't. In fact, it makes you a boring fighter because you're going to do what you have to do in order to win. That's really what it does. I think they need to have one flat fee, then you get bonuses for finishing. Not for winning, but for finishing. I think the whole pay structure comes down to like a tournament style. I think that's really like the principle of the way we structure the pay is, I think, based on tournaments. Like if you advance in a tournament, you get more money. I think that's what it came down to. It's like, okay, you advance in a tournament, you get more money. You win the tournament, you get more money. But when you're talking about one single fight, you don't need to incentivize a fighter with double the money, because that's not going to help them. It doesn't really help them. It absolutely doesn't help. Fighters want to win regardless, and that doesn't help them. But I think it hurts them in terms of excitement, because they're going to do what they have to do in order to win and not be exciting and go for a finish.
Everyone keeps saying we need to fix the judging, and you had a great idea about, you know, demonetizing bad decisions and bad judging. And in a good amount of cases, there's so much truth to that. But the big question is, like, in terms of like the in-fight action and how we actually score these things, like, how do we do it? Like, it's hard. A lot of people say, like, oh, you got to get the right people in there, like the knowledge, maybe get some fighters in there. And it's really hard to do because there's not a lot of individuals who, as kids, when they write reports on what they want to be when they grow up, they say, you know what? I want to be an MMA judge. I bet there's tons of money in that. Like, who the hell wants that responsibility? Like, no one's writing articles about a judge who scores a fight correctly. Wow. Great scorecard. Great scorecard, Sal D'Amato. It's all about the negative. Like, how in the world can we even fix this, Dean? Like, is it the actual 10-point must system? Is it just putting noise blocking headphones on? Like, what can be done to improve the judging process within a fight as we know it?
Well, I think the problem is really within a 10-point must system, which I don't necessarily have a problem with if you're more willing to give 10 eights and 10 sevens because of the way a round is viewed. But when, again, like when you look at that Kyler Phillips fight, it's like, that's definitely a 10-8, could even be a 10-7, you know, and you got to use that and not just be like, oh, he won a round, so give him a 10-9. Oh, you know what? We can give a 10-8. Oh, I forgot about that. Because I think that's what happens sometimes. They forget that they can get a 10-7, because there's no way you can look at both of those rounds and say that they were the same. But I think that one thing we have to do, you know, the judges have to do, is to really quantify what's important in a fight. You know, like, how do you view leg kicks compared to jabs? How important are takedowns really? You know? I don't really even, like, how important is our takedowns really? Well, I mean, what have you done by putting a guy on his back? How close did you get to finishing? You didn't really. So if I hit you and I knock you down, or if you take me down, like, how do you score that? We got to really quantify what's important in a fight. And I think that's what it comes down to, is that we all don't view it the same way. Like, if I'm getting kicked in my leg, like, fighters, when they're getting kicked in the legs, sometimes they don't even realize it. But yet the judges are like, oh, he's getting kicked in the leg. And fighters are not making adjustments because they're not realizing it, because they don't realize that they're losing points on this. You know, in fact, I was talking to Pani Kianzad about her fight with she just had a fight in Vegas a few weeks ago, and the name will come to me in a second. And she was getting kicked in the leg, and I was asking her, I was like, why didn't you make the adjustment? She said, I didn't even realize I was getting kicked. In the moment, I didn't realize I was getting kicked. So this is what I'm saying. So, like, they're not really recognizing, but she's losing points because of it, but she's not even realizing. So I think that we need to really establish what weighs in a fight, and fighters need to understand that going into a fight so that they can make the proper adjustments, and then we can score these fights properly.
I mean, if you're Macy Barber, you're going full heel with this, right? Like, shut up, you know nothing. I actually 1080'd her in all three rounds. There is no controversy. Jessica, I, where you at? Like, that's exactly what she should be doing, right?
No, I think she should shut up and just be like, you know what? It was a close fight. I didn't make myself the winner. The judges saw me as a winner. I'm sorry that it worked out that way. You know, that's all she can say is, hey, listen, it's not my fault the judges saw me as the winner. I went out and fought my fight, and they said I was the winner. I'm going home and taking my check.
Fair enough. In terms of the rest of the action, who is your MVP of the card that we haven't talked about yet? Like, who impressed you the most on Saturday?
Oh, wow. I got to think back. Honestly, this is going to sound really weird, but Miranda Maverick. Yeah, Miranda Maverick. I mean, I thought she fought, like, honestly, because I know how good Macy is. And, you know, I know how good Macy is, and I know how athletic she is, and, you know, how devastating of a fighter she could be. For Miranda Maverick to bully her around the way she did for those first two rounds, I was like, Miranda's really good. You know, she's a really good fighter. She didn't make a lot of mistakes in that fight. I thought she did what she needed to do. I mean, obviously, Macy came back in that third, but Macy's a good fighter. Like, I don't want to take that away from her. So, like, you're talking about two really good fighters. If I had to give an MVP in that fight, I would say, on that entire card, Miranda Maverick was my MVP of that entire card.
I dig it, man.
And she lost. Like, that's what she lost. And she's my MVP.
So the stock still rose despite not getting the second half of the paycheck. So there you go. This coming to, I mean, tons of MMA this weekend. The UFC's back. Of course, they're going head to head with Bellator in that massive main event between Patricio Pitbull and AJ McKee. A lot of people are calling Pitbull McKee the biggest fight in Bellator history. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like this is the biggest fight in Bellator history? I feel like there's a lot of other fights that aren't even being discussed.
Well, in terms of, like, popularity, it's not even close. You know, there's been a lot of big fights in Bellator history. I mean, in terms of popularity, I mean, you could talk about Chandler Alvarez, you know, so like those fights are just, you know, they've been massive. But I think in terms of, like, from a sport perspective, this is a pretty big fight. You know, it's just, they're not very popular, you know. You know, not a lot of people know them, but from a sport perspective, AJ McKee has been groomed for this moment. I know his father well. He's been groomed for this moment. He's undefeated and he's a savage. And Pitbull is a savage in his own right. Like, I've studied him. He's a guy who barely makes mistakes. He's able to make adjustments in fights. He's a really good fighter. He's adapted to situations of fights. I mean, from a sport perspective, this is a phenomenal fight. And I got to give, you know, Bellator credit for being able to make this happen, because, like, I think this is what they wanted. You know, like, when you talk about the two top fighters at 145 outside of the UFC, that's them. I mean, they could go into, either of these guys could go into UFC and give a run to anybody at 145. So they're really good fighters, and this is a big fight. But from a public standpoint, I don't think it's the biggest fight in Bellator history.
You got a pick for that fight?
I don't have a pick for that. I mean, it's so hard to say. But I guess if I actually had to pick, I would say Pitbull, just, you know, his experience of being able to make adjustments in fights. And we've rarely seen AJ McKee, like, in trouble. So we don't know how he's going to respond to being in trouble. I mean, he just shuts everybody out. Like, he's that good. He shuts everybody out. But, you know, every fighter, their card gets pulled where they have to really step up. This is going to be his time. So it's just, we're going to see how he does when he has to step up.
I love that fight. Two last quick things. The Dana White F It Friday parody video you put out was phenomenal. Dude, it was so funny. What inspired you to put that together? Cause it was gold, man.
You know, I'm a creative man. I like to just do creative things. And when I saw Dana do that video in the morning, I said, oh, I'm going to get him. And, like, I was, and I had to go to work. I do a radio show. And I was like, I can't wait till the show's over, because I got to go home and do this video. And, like, I had just been waiting to do that all day to get him. But I was thinking it. I was like, man, I hope Dana don't get pissed off, because he's going to fire me. But apparently he liked it, I suppose. But even if he didn't, I tagged everybody in the company so that everybody could see it. But I don't know, man. I saw it and nobody really goes at Dana like that. So I had to go at him.
That's good. So he never responded and said anything to you about it?
No, he posted on it and just gave me the finger. So. But I mean, I was actually waiting for a phone call from him, be like, yo, take it down. And it never came. So I was like, all right, it's cool.
Last thing, Brendan Allen got a big win over Puna Soriano. Great, great performance from him. The guy just keeps getting better and better. Why does he owe you $3?
He actually didn't owe me $3. He's a good buddy of mine.
Okay. So
he's a good buddy. I like Brendan Allen. I've known him for a long time. You know, he's a Louisiana boy. He used to train with a good buddy of mine, Rich Clemente. And, you know, and Brandon, we hung out in Milwaukee. And now he's down here in South Florida. So I see him all the time. I like to give him a hard time. Hell of a fighter. Got a bright future ahead of him. So I got to give him a hard time.
No one really understands, like, how young he is. Because he looks like he's 38 years old. But he's like, what's he, 25, 26? Not even?
Something like that. He's a kid, man. He's a young kid. But he's got a lot of potential.
I agree. Dean, you are the man. I will let you go off to whatever you got to be doing in the vehicle. But it's crazy. Hey, you have 90 minutes to go to jump on and do this. You did not disappoint. I appreciate it very much, sir. And when are you back on the broadcast?
I'm on this weekend. So y'all can see me this weekend. I'll be doing a pre-show and a post-show this weekend. Strickland and Hall. That's going to be fireworks. And I can't wait to do that.
There is Dean Thomas providing no surprise here, a lot of excellent insights, analysis, and a lot of truth, if we're being honest. And I thank him for jumping on as we get ready to wrap up another edition here on What the Heck. Like I said, a little bit of an abbreviated version, just schedules and all sorts of craziness. Definitely wanted to give you a show. And Dean, big part of it, of course, a lot going on here and in the world of MMA and combat sports, but we will be at Bellator 63, the fight week festivities. So follow along with us throughout the week. We'll have some more interviews and other things coming up as well that relates to that card, the UFC card, and just fight sports in general. BTL will be back on Thursday as well. First time we've missed BTL in, I don't know, 60 something weeks. So we had to miss it. Just too much going on last week, but we will be back with a very special edition this coming Thursday. So we're just getting started this week here on MMAfighting.com. The ASI will be back as well. Big thank you to you guys and gals for watching the program. Big thanks to Casey Lydon on the production, Alex and Jose on the graphics and the social media stuff. Have a heck of a week, everybody. And by the way, if you haven't seen on MMA Fighting already, we already confirmed it. The rematch is happening in November. November 6th is what I'm being told by multiple people. UFC 268, Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington 2. So get excited for that. And one individual who wants to fight on that card, it's not official at MSG, but that seems to be where we're heading. Madison Square Garden on November 6th, UFC 268. And after this man's performance this past Saturday, he wants to be a part of that card as well. So have a week. Have a heck of a week, everybody. Oh, what a week. And enjoy my conversation with one of the big winners from this past Saturday night, Mickey Gall. All right, let us say hello to Mickey Gall, who returned to action after around 13 or so months away. And man, did he deliver. He overwhelms and stops a very tough, usually very durable Jordan Williams, submitting him in the first round. Mickey, good to see you, man. Congratulations. How are you?
Doing great, bro. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for doing this, especially just 48 hours or so after the win. What a performance, man. A lot of people feel that this was the very best performance of your career. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I guess so. Yeah. It's good, get to do everything, drop the guy, put a couple, couple guillotines on him, rock him again. And then, roll the mount, get the back, choke him out. It was clean. It was a clean performance for sure. And yeah, like you said, man, I knew, Jordan Williams, he's a really tough guy, man. 9 wins, 7 by knockout. And yeah, he's durable as heck. He was up to 85 taking, hard shots, and he didn't get dropped his whole last fight. I did have a feeling maybe coming down to 70 might make that chin a little more durable, but I didn't plan for it. I expected, the durable dude. I think he is durable. I think it's just how hard I hit,
Why were you kind of hesitant in saying that that was the best performance of your career? You said, I guess so. I'm kind of curious to your mentality behind that.
I watched it like it was just, I always feel like I could do even more. You know what I mean? After I dropped him the first time, I probably could have ground and pounded him a little more, dropped some elbows or something. That was a big shot, and he was definitely rocked, and I knew it, but I was looking more pass, and he got up, and I grabbed the guillotine. I didn't throw the leg over the back, at all, and I just let him, I roll out. I slapped on it was a good high elbow. The upper body did great, but my lower body didn't do exactly what I'm supposed to do technically. As a jiu-jitsu black belt, under David Adib, I know what's right and what's wrong. And I watched that guillotine. I'm like, whoa, it wasn't that good. I could have probably finished him there. But it was good. I was happy. I got more time to go and, strike. And I just, it felt great, man. Obviously the win felt the best, but being in there felt great. Seeing everything, he hit me a couple times and I was just like, nah, that's not going to do it. I can take those all day. I'm not worried about I remember feeling that in there, which is nice. And, everything just comes when I first started, even when I fought, my first four UFC fights, I was not that comfortable on my feet. I was very comfortable in the practice room, but then when it's in there, it's a little different. And that's that's changed. That's made a complete 180. I'm so comfortable there now. And I've been comfortable there probably since the George Sullivan fight. But that means, Mike Jackson, CM Punk, Sage, and the Randy Brown fight, all of those, I was not very comfortable on my feet. I didn't have so much of a clue, but now it's completely different. And even then, I was working towards this, but now it's just, I'm so comfortable. I'm at home. You know what I mean? It's great.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I remember those past interviews we used to do when you first got into the UFC, and after those first couple of wins, you always said I can't wait to show off my improved striking. And it just seemed like you never really got the chance to do that. George, you got to a little bit, but from there, this is the time you really got to show it more and more. So that must have felt just great being able to just show everybody. You know what I mean? You must have just felt amazing just being able to show some of the things.
Just being able, just for me, just how I felt. Not so much just showing it to people, just feeling it. Cause that's you know what I mean? I have that, whatever people saw or think, cool. But I just know, it's, I felt comfortable in the last one with Perry, and the ones before. I'd say the George Sullivan one, that's where I first, and I gotta credit Joe Schilling and Eve Edwards with that. Cause that was around the time I started working with them, and they helped me so much. But I'm even the George Sullivan, I landed two punches and a kick, and then I took him down. So this one, it was nice. You know what I mean? I just was there, it was comfortable. It's just so comfortable.
Last year, we're dealing with the pandemic, still are to some degree, but you talked about the fight with Mike Perry, didn't go your way. You were supposed to fight Miguel Baeza in September. You were forced to withdraw from that one. A pretty tough 2020 for you overall when it comes to Mickey Gall, the fighter. But I guess what were you able to take away from 2020? The loss, the time away, et cetera, that got you so ready mentally for this fight with Jordan.
And that wasn't even I had so much adversity in this camp. After having to pull out of the Baeza fight, first time I ever had to pull out, hopefully it's the last, knock wood. I was hurt. I was hurt bad. I should not have fought then, made the right decision. But I had the injury from then started showing little things again. So I had to get shots in my back months ago, and I had to get shots in my back in this camp, take a few days off for that. I had to take a week off in this camp because of my a different injury I had. And that's all you want to do is train, and you feel great. And I'm waking up early, ready. Like I said, Williams, nine wins, seven knockouts. I better be training and come correct. Durable dude. So it was tough, but we made a great late push. We did no taper. There's no tape. Usually you taper 2 weeks out. The past 3 weeks, including even the last week in Vegas, especially in the last one in Jersey, the week before, we were going balls out to the wall hard. That was peak camp. And I think it helped me peak at the right time. But yeah, my team really uplifted me. Like LJ Raboli had just, who will is a future UFC guy, like no doubt, probably future champ. You know, so can't say enough good things about him. He got his win on the regional scene. He beat the dude in like a minute and then was spending 6 hours in the gym with me. Plus like the person, private lessons he teaches and all that stuff. Like he's not only like the skills of like a champion, but he's got like the character of a champion. And it's so weird how he's just as good of a coach. If not, like he's just as good as he is as a fighter, as a coach. It's unbelievable. And he's the youngest one of the, like on the team in the corner was LJ Bull. He's 26. And then, you know, there's me. So I think I'm in a great place. I got Matt Brown. It's like the player coach, you know, a little older than me, more experienced legend. And then I have David Adib, who's the wise man, who's just been by my side from the beginning. And, you know, that whole team just got together, you know, everyone clicked, everyone's on the same page. Everyone's having great times, laughing, joking, you know, all week. And, that's just what you want. You know, you want it like that. No bullshit. It's just all love.
Did it get close to you having to pull the plug on this fight? Like, was the pain that bad?
I wouldn't do it. Definitely like, but I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. There was no way. It was definitely not ideal. There's a lot of things that were not ideal, but I couldn't pull out of two fights in a row. You know what I mean? You can't pull out your first fight and then pull out. You're like, what are we just going to keep pulling? You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I had to get there. And like my team really like uplifted me. Like, you know, there are times where I was just like always in the past, like you have a fight and your whole life, like you have your purpose. Everything makes sense. Like you're like, I'm a fighter. I'm in fight camp. This is what I'm supposed to do. Everything's perfect. You know what I mean? Yeah, we're working hard. But now it's like, it just wasn't as fun. I wasn't having fun. I was miserable for the past month. I was like, you know, I was constantly tired, sore, in pain, for like just miserable, man. I was annoyed. I was like pissed off, you know. And my team just—they were just so great. They you know, it really is a team sport, and I'm so fortunate to have such good people around me.
You learned obviously about Jordan along the way, and you saw his record, and you saw how tough and durable he was. Did you know much about him when the initial offer came? Like, was he a guy that was even on your radar, considering he was an 85er for a good stretch of his career?
No, I when they said the name, I had to look him up, and they're like, "We got this guy for you," or you could wait. I was like, all right, let's fight. You know what I mean? Of course, I need to fight. I've been trying to fight, get back since like the spring. You know, that's when my body was finally feeling better. That's when in the winter I started to like turn a corner, and spring I was ready to, you know, take a UFC fight again. And I didn't know much about him, but I looked him up, and when I looked him up, I was like, fuck, like this ain't a fucking easy or like fun fight. Like, this is going to be a grind. This is going to be I expected, you know, be ball busted up today and limping and whatever, but I knew I'd get the win. He's so tough. Like, he's a southpaw. You got to do things different. Like, there's a lot of crap along with it. And, you know, when I looked into him, I was just impressed with the guy that he is, the stuff he's overcame, and, you know, he's a good dude. And, you know, I was just ready to, you know, just go there and be a warrior.
Was that the first fight you were offered along the way, or did they offer you other things and you just couldn't take them because you were? Oh, no kidding.
That was the only fight, first and only. Yeah. First and only fight I was offered. And let's be honest. I've been spoiled to a degree with some big fun fights. You know, I came in the UFC and I had Mike Jackson and I had CM Punk and I had Sage Northcutt. You know what I mean? Like, I've had, you know, and then, you know, I just so many, just Perry, Diego, all these fights are big, huge names, big fights. Condit, I was supposed to fight. So it was like, you know, it was different. It was like a guy, yeah, who I didn't know of, but I knew he was tougher than hell. You know, it's like, it was so like, you could all, like, you could say like bigger risk, littler reward, because not as many people know him. If, you know, if you lose to guys like, you know, you lost someone people don't even know, it's whatever. You know, it's not, it's just whatever. But, you know, I know that motherfucker made me, you know, get up and work and, you know, put some fear into me that, you know, I had to come correct. And, yeah, we got it done. So it's great to just, you know, be on this side of it.
With sort of that like outsider perspective on people really not knowing who Jordan was, I mean, you have essentially grown up in the UFC as a professional fighter. You're 29 years of age. You're just now reaching your athletic prime. And, you know, losing to a guy like Jordan Williams could put you in a tough spot from the company's point of view. So did you have any extra pressure heading into this fight?
Yeah. I mean, you always got to prepare yourself. You never want to get your ass kicked on TV. You always want to, you know, win. I got family and friends and little baby sisters who watch the fights and, you know, were crying even though I won and stuff. Like it's, yeah, there's always a lot of pressure, but you just got to, you know, I turn the noise down on that and I just got to go in there and just be me. If I got my eyes and my body, like I can beat anybody. You know what I mean? I'm good. Like I can, But all that stuff can get to you and, you know, bother you and distract. So it's just trying to keep it, you know, keep it simple. And we made it work, man. I was in a lot of pain this camp. I was in a lot of pain, the physical pain and then, you know, just a frustration from the physical pain and not being able to do things. There's so many things I was limited on. And, I know I'll be even better the next time. I get to take like a week or two off, go chill down the shore. And, you know, I know I'll be even better the next time. And looking like it'll probably be November, Madison Square Garden. Who knows? That's what, you know, I quickly talked to Sean Shelby in the hallway. That, you know, that'd be great right in my backyard. And, you know, I know I'll be even better now. It's only, they're only going to get better. I've known, like you said, growing up in the UFC, like, I've known all my growing pains are going to be shown to the world and people are going to judge me off them. And people will probably look at me as a kid who came in and, you know, didn't have the striking or was, you know, just a 24-year-old kid and whatever. But I'm not. I've had that opportunity to train with, you know, best people in the world. And I've, you know, taken it very seriously and it's paying off and it's going to continue to pay off. Like, you know, the top guys in my division are like 6-7 years older than me. You know what I mean? They have a lot more fights and a lot more experience, and I'm getting that all in the job. So I'm just trying to stay active like I've been doing. Obviously, this year wasn't ideal for being active when you get hurt. It's hard to be, you know, but we're going to be active. We're going to get after it. And, you know, I really think it's going to be a real cool story at the end. And, you know, it's championship or bust for me. So, you know, when I get that belt, that's going to make a real cool story. The 1-0 kid who came in to fight the wrestler. You know, you'll get to see everything. You got to get to see my whole career in front of the spotlights, and you know, and it's going to have a really cool finish, I'm sure.
Did I see that you were at a first communion and USADA called to test you?
Yeah. I was at my little baby sister Ryland's first communion, and I'm getting I'm getting calls in my pocket. My phone's ringing. I don't recognize the number. I put it down. Like I'm getting a little like annoyed. And then I step out of the church. I'm like I call this person back and be like, hello, like, what are you doing? Like, blow me up. And they're like, hey, Mickey, it's USADA. I was like, oh, okay. So they came and met me at the communion party back at my dad's house and, you know, Pete tested me and had to do all the stuff. And Ryland was out there in her communion dress offering him drinks and stuff. It was cute.
That was test 25, right? Was that 20? That was the 25.
That was
one?
Test 25. And so I'm at like 26, 27 now.
Yeah. Look at you. We really did grow up in the UFC. So you mentioned MSG. Right. November seems to make sense. Carlos Condit was a name that came to mind. And of course, you were supposed to fight him in December of 2019 on that DC card. He gets injured. The fight was scrapped. And I felt the concept makes a ton of sense for sure. Now there's even more of a built-in storyline with Matt Brown being part of the team. He's the player coach for you. And, you know, he had that fun scrap with Condit in January. You talked to Sean. Do you feel that he and the UFC feels the same way you and I do, that this is the direction everybody should go after Saturday?
I have no idea. And to be honest, bringing up, like, I didn't have a name in my head. This is like the first fight where I don't have a name, you know? I guess it's kind of like an old habits die hard. Like that thing, someone brought it up. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm supposed to fight Condit. Like, I don't kind of sit in my car. If there was someone who you looked up to as a kid that you were supposed to interview and then they get sick and or hurt and can't interview, still want to do that interview. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
I still want to do that fight. You know, I looked up to Condit as a kid. You know, and I was supposed to fight him. So it kind of sits in my craw a little bit. But at the same time, I'd rather fight anyone than not fight him in the next couple months. So if it's kind of cool, big name, legend, former champ, you know, former interim champ. I would love it. But otherwise, whatever, whoever, you know what I mean? I just got to stay active, keep fighting. The more I fight, you know, win, lose, or draw, I'm going to get better every time. And, you know, I plan on rattling off some wins, getting both my checks, you know, keeping things going.
Was it like refreshing to not have a name to call out, like not have to worry about that?
It was more just like almost like circumstantial. Like I just needed to get this freaking win. You know, I mean, I didn't have the time. Every other waking moment was I was icing stuff and trying to recuperate and heal and do stuff like that. Like I didn't have time to think about. I didn't think about what I was gonna say in my post fight. Like in the past, you think about like maybe you know you got an idea what you want to say to kind of make things happen. Use your moment. I didn't think about none of that. All I was thinking about was just getting in there and fighting and getting my win and just, you know, I was ready to die before I lose. I, you know, right as I'm about to walk out, I was like, I'm not going back to that hotel loser. I'm not going back to Jersey a loser. I would have rather died than do that. So if that was what it was going to be, he would have needed to put me unconscious and put me out bad because I was going to be fighting to the end. I love that feeling. That's what, you know, that's why I'm ready to fight. And, you know, I was right there. It was just see, you know, kill or be killed. And that's a drug I'm hooked to, that feeling. It's scary. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, cause it is like scary in the way that, you know, scary, like it's scary. Like, you know, but I mean it. And, you know, it was sincere and I was just ready to do it, whatever it took.
Yeah, I feel like these last 5 years, I think you've handled it very well. Like you did what any other 24-year-old would try to do. You try to make a name for yourself. You try to get up there as fast as possible. It's been championship or bust for you. But I feel like you've learned really good lessons along the way. I feel like we're starting to see a wiser, mature student of the game. Like you've always been a student of the game, but I feel like some of the, you know, the callouts and some of those things, I don't know if they weighed you down, but I feel like your focus and everything's just kind of coming in at the right time. Like everything's clicking perfectly for you. Do you feel the same way? Like, do you feel like these lessons you learned in 5 years, like that you're just putting small deposits in the bank and now we're ready to purchase a mansion, so to speak?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, even though that was only my 10th pro fight, when usually people don't get signed to the UFC till after they have 10 pro fights, that was only my 10th pro fight, but I feel like a veteran. I felt Jordan Williams had more fights than me, but I knew I was the veteran in there. You know what I mean? That's my ninth UFC fight in the UFC cage. You know what I mean? So although I'm young still, I'm in my 20s and I'm, you know, but I still feel like a veteran. I feel like a veteran in ways, even though I know I'm, you know, I still got a lot to learn and all that stuff, but I have vet experience and, you know, you know, it helps. It's a nice thing to have, you know what I mean? It definitely helps. Like you said, yeah, I've learned a lot. I've, you know, felt like the man. I've been humbled. I've had a lot of, you know, things happen just growing up as a fucking human being, you know what I mean? Like all that stuff. And it feels real good right now.
Have you been impressed with Condit? I mean, you wanted that fight, but you know, he's been pretty active, 3 fights in 9 months. He's been staying busy. He lost a pretty entertaining fight with Max Griffin earlier this month. What have you sort of made of his showing since he came back after the long layoff?
Man, he definitely impressed me in the fight with Brown. Like he pulled out a couple moves that, and he doesn't stop moving. That dude, you know, they call him the natural born killer. He's a natural born killer and he fights to the end and there's no, Carlos Condit's not laying down for anybody. You know what I mean? He's fighting till the end. He's fighting every position, every second, the whole time. He's a fighter. He's a fighter as true as you can get. I was impressed with him. I also know I can do some bad shit to him and put him in some really bad spots and beat him everywhere. So, you know, I think it's a good fight for me to step my career up. You know what I mean? Like I know I could beat his ass on the feet. I know I could beat his ass on the ground in the wrestling. Wherever it goes, I feel like I'll be able to dominate. So, you know, like I said, my next performance is going to be my best one. And then the one after that, you know what I mean? So I like the fight for me. I liked it for me a year and a half ago. And, you know, I like it now.
Can I ask you what the significance of the number 22 is? Because I know that number comes up a lot. You post about it. Your sister Jamie, and kudos to her.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. So, what's the significance of that number?
All right. This might sound kind of corny, but whatever. Me and my sister are both born on the 22nd. I'm January 22nd. She's September 22nd. And then, like, throughout the day, like, I was all sports growing up. We always wore number 22. Like, I was just like, that was our thing. And like throughout the day, my dad, we have a group chat, like me and my dad and my sister, my dad will text like at 9:22, he'll text us, you know, 22. And like, I see 22s everywhere. Yesterday getting on my flight, it was 9:22 in, Vegas, and it was boarding at 11:22. Like it's like a good vibe sign to me. And there, like, I haven't really looked into it, but there's a lot of big things with that number. There's something to it. So yeah, I'll see the clock five times today, and four of them, it's going to be on 22. Just when I randomly look, it just happens. You know what I mean? Just good vibes. And, 2022 is coming up soon. So I think there's going to definitely be some big shit happening next year. You know what I mean? I know.
Wow. That's crazy, man. That's crazy how the 22 is just kind of floating out there, and you just see it all, everywhere. I know your sister Jamie, she's been an inspiration for a lot of people right now. I saw her post. She celebrated what I believe it was 7 years of sobriety, and it seems like she's come back from a lot, man. Like, what? How much of an inspiration has she been to you? Just not only overcoming that, but I know she's helped you along the way in a lot of other ways as well.
Couldn't even put a dent in how much she's helped me, like with my career and just making everything easier and helpful and just great. But yeah, she's my little sister, but she's like a big sister to me in a lot of ways. Like she's a boss. She's a fucking boss. And she's just a gangster, man. Like she was, unfortunately, her gangster ways led her into some hard times and some problems, but now she has that stuff harnessed. You know, she's using it for good, and it's so inspiring. I'm happy to, you know, like she was talking to me the other day, like she thinks like people would hit her up after, like a lot of people obviously get like, but some people would be like, hey, I hope that didn't bother you that he like blew up your anonymity. You know what I mean? Cause you're supposed to be like someone like anonymity in the, that community. And she's like, no, fuck that. Like, I think anonymity like keeps people, you know, like ashamed and hiding and stuff. Like I'm proud to be 7 years. And I'm so proud of her, you know, being 7 years, because without that, she's not here. She's dead in jail, or probably dead. You know what I mean? Like there's many times in my life, like when I was first, like that's why fighting was like therapy for me. Cause like when I was like first getting into it, like that's when she was having a lot of her problems. And like there were times where I was like, the next time like I hold my sister's hand, it's going to be cold at her funeral. You know, and like that's my baby sister. Like it was scary, and it's like how I said, it's the happiest thing in my life. It's because without that, like 7 years sobriety, I don't have my sister. I don't have my best friend. I don't have any of that. So yeah, I hope we can help people, because I know on the family side they got Alan on and all that stuff, and those meetings weren't for me. But it's a real helpless, tough thing when a person you know and love like becomes a fucking, they're an alien, they're a zombie, they're someone you don't know, and they're it's stuck in that addiction because it's crazy. It just takes over their body and their brain. So, you know, we're always, you know, trying to help too and spread awareness and stuff. And I just know, and it's not easy by any means, but I think addicts are like the strongest people there are. When you know what I mean? They're super capable and super strong. And when they get clean, they're a fucking force to be reckoned with. You don't want to go against one of those motherfuckers. They're tough. They're toughier, you know? It's very impressive stuff.
Well said. Great for her. Great for you as well to go in there and get a big win after a year away. And congratulations with it. Enjoy it. All the best to you and getting on that MSG car, whether it's against Carlos Condit or any welterweight who's ready to put pen to paper, my man. So enjoy it.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.